It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going well. How are you?
Good.
All right. And live, in person, delayed 1 week because she managed to be healthy. We got one in a row, in person, the one, the only Pip Hill. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good.
It is very nice to see you in person.
Thank you. It's really nice to see you, too. It's really bizarre to be, I don't know how to behave with live people anymore.
No, you really don't, but you've always been somewhat inappropriate, so it's not much of a fall-off.
I'm relearning, and this is my trial run, so forgive me.
No, you've been released into the wild. And, you know, Joe and I have dipped our toe in the wild the whole time, Joe more so than I. But you've been nestled away, cloistered away.
Yeah.
You and Mr. Heel look snug as a bug in a rug, but now you're emerging. The fog is lifting. Pip is out on the street. Garage sales beware. It's all coming back now.
Lock up your children.
I am not feeling... I feel like this is not working properly.
Oh.
My microphone is not working properly. Now I hear a echo on Joe, so Joe has to get his...
Yeah, hold on.
I see Joe on Zoom, though.
There we go.
Yeah, no, Joe's got it under control. He's just getting it all together. Am I registering loudly on the...
No. No, I am.
So, speak.
See how I'm registering on the board, but you do it now.
I am not registering as loudly.
Yeah, no, you're way low. This is how I actually like it, but that's not good for you being the host of the show. Like, it's your name and everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could talk loud all night, as we all know. We have a song to prove it. But it's not going to do well if you can't.
Yeah, I'll do it. You and Joe talk first.
He's figuring it out. Joe, what's new in your world?
Well, I got a tick and I sprained my ankle.
What? You got a ticket? Wait, are these combined? You got a ticket and sprained your ankle?
I discovered I had the tick last week, and my ankle crapped out on me. So I've been limping around, and I've been dealing with the tick. I found out I got the tick about a week ago. I must have got it when I was in the family farm. And last Wednesday, I'm getting in the shower. I'm like, I reached to my side with the washer. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I take a picture of it, and I see this tick, and he's burrowed. You know, Winnie the Pooh, when he's in the honey jar, that's what the tick looked like.
Oh,
and I'm like, you son of a bitch. So I wanted to yanking him out.
Yeah.
You know? And I wanted to get the medicine to prevent the getting Lyme disease.
Right.
And I didn't feel like going to my doctor because my doctor charges an absolute fortune. And I had a guy.
Oh, no, you got a guy.
Joe has a tick guy? Who the hell has a tick guy?
I got a tick guy. You know me. I got a guy for everything. So I got the tick guy. So it turns out that, you know, I waited a little bit, and Joe's girl was furious with me because I told her Sunday about the tick. And I'm like, well, let me see if I can get the guy, because there's a drug that you take. And I didn't feel like spending the $200. So I'm waiting for, you know, trying to see if I get a hold of this guy. Yesterday, I'm on the phone with Lenore, my friend Lenore.
Yeah.
And I told her what was going on, and she absolutely chewed the shit out of me. How could you be? And Lenore is one of the few people that, because, you know, there's a rumor going around that I could be stubborn about things.
What?
So I don't know who spreads that shit.
I don't know.
I'll tell you, Joe. I'll tell you what. I am not spreading that rumor. The rumor I am spreading is you're a moron. So.
Okay. So anyway, I get, schedule an appointment at that. So I called the nurse yesterday to make the appointment, and she goes, is the tick still in you? Yeah, he's having cocktails by the patio. No, he's not. I yanked him out. And she goes, did you save the tick? And I'm like, what am I, a big, what do you think, was an elk? I'm not a big game hunter. What am I going to put it in my drawing room next to the elk head? No, I threw him out. He goes, well, we wanted to send him to pathology to find out if it had Lyme disease. Well, he didn't stick around. I got rid of him.
Well, here's the problem. You're being selfish all about you. I'm a little concerned for the tick sucking on your blood. Imagine the diseases that poor tick has now.
No, that poor tick probably was loving it. It's all, with sugar-rich blood. So he probably, loved it. He was a fat little guy.
Now the tick is all obese, goes to his little tick doctor. You gotta cut out the humans that have diabetes. There's too much sugar in it, and they drink too much too. You gotta find a vegan to munch on.
Yeah, right. He got his ass handed to him too. Yeah.
Nobody was happy with the Joe tick dining experience. Yeah.
So I went to the doctor today. And he looked at it. It's probably going to cost, my copay stinks, so it's probably going to cost me $200. But I got the medicine. He took blood. He's going to see what's going on in a couple of weeks. And the bottom line is, yeah, I had to spend the money. But you know what? There's kind of a comfort in your doctor looking at it. Not a guy, not a, your own doctor that you've been going to for 25 years looking at it. Yeah, all right, we'll get the blood test, blah, blah. So it gives you a little bit of comfort. So. It is,
well,
what it is.
That's the difference between your doctor and my doctor. I take no comfort when I go to my doctor because I don't think he's got a fucking clue what he's talking about. But he's easy to talk to, and I barely go. So.
Hold on a second. Hold back the fuck up.
All right.
Now, you're the one who was like all over me about getting a second opinion, and, yeah. I should.
Yeah, they're not cutting me open.
Yeah, I know, but it's like you're going to a doctor that you don't trust.
No!
What kind of Jew are you?
No, because I ask, I need medicine, or I need to get some blood work done. We're not letting him do anything important. Are you fucking insane?
Well, yes.
You know what it's like? It's like you could go to the really good mechanic who's overpriced, or you could go to your friend who took a class in high school and could kind of get the car through the day. So that's where I'm going.
Now, I am so glad that I took my own counsel, because you, my friend.
No, my counsel.
You're spending every time you're going to a doctor, going to somebody that you're not quite.
I don't go to a doctor. I don't go to a doctor.
Yeah, no,
listen, sorry. I don't miss shows due to illness. I play hurt, baby. You can't come at me.
I'll tell you what. Want me up here?
I'll tell you what. During the whole pandemic, I did not miss a night at this table. I was here the whole time.
Well, I was at my own table doing the show.
Yeah, but last week you were supposed to be here. We finally activated you. Boom, old habit. She can't make it. Her tum tum hurts. Somebody left some chicken salad again on the counter, and she learned nothing in the past couple of years.
And exactly why I couldn't come up here. Because we didn't want to relive any of that.
No, but that's the difference. I don't get really sick.
Yeah, I know. I have a list.
You will someday.
I will never get ill. I'm a picture of health. I work out.
Yes.
I would say I eat right, but I eat with my left.
I'm going to tape this so I can play it at the benefit.
What'd you say?
I'm going to tape this so I can play it at the benefit.
Oh, like, first of all, the mythic comedic benefit. You always see, like, when a comic gets sick, or worse, a comic dies, his friends get together. So it's a zilch comic nobody ever heard of, with his zilch friends, and I include myself in the zilch group, by the way. I'm not saying I'm above this. I am part of the group of zilches. Yeah, let's put a show together, and we'll have a fundraiser. And it never happens. There's never a show, there's never a fundraiser. At best, there's an attempt at a show that nobody wants to buy tickets to. Not the friends of the ill comic, not the friends of the comics that are performing. Trust me, I've seen it so many times. So please stop it.
You don't want benefit. You don't want a knife for Davin.
No, because you know what? I don't want a knife for Davin because I don't want you to embarrass yourself, and I don't want to be embarrassed.
Hold the phone because I won't even get the call. So you're calling yourself Zilchus, and I won't even get the call.
No, you don't even register. You wish you were
Zilch. I do. Well, I aspire to Zilchiness.
You aspire, you are so far from being a Zilch. You are in the negative.
Well, the funny thing, if I got to put together a knife for Davin, I got to call him. But yeah, how's it going, John? Oh, you heard the show. Well, he didn't mean to call you. Fuck you. All right.
Please. You know what? If they're being honest with themselves, they would go, he has a point. That's why we have to do a GoFundMe. Come on. You know this is true. Our friends have been sick, have passed away, unfortunately, and you always go, we should put a show together. You know what? It's never about the person in jeopardy. It's about fucking Zilch comics like myself looking for stage time. That's all it is. I see right through this shit. Listen, I am honest with you people. You might not like what I have to say. You usually don't. I'm honest. We're not really doing a good deed. We just have a new five we want to work on, and this is an excuse where there's minimal pressure.
That can be anything. A gig, a benefit, your wedding, anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Everybody's got a new five they want to work on. If there's a microphone. Oh, he's got pancreatic cancer. You know what would be great? If we ask all his friends who have no money and our friends who have never supported us to show up to the VFW to put together a fundraiser for him, we could do a tricky tray. The trick will be getting anybody to donate anything worthwhile.
It's like, oh, look, there's a tray of Ritz with some of the spray-on cheese.
You know how many times I've heard comics say, oh, organism. Now, there was one. The guy passed away now. Passed away, but he was ill. The guy from Catch a Rising Star. I was part of that, and some people did show up. And that was organized very well by Ryan Marr. But sure. Most of the time, it's an idea, and like most things comics are, that's done. And then nothing happens. I'm speaking the truth. Comics are the worst. So please, hold your benefit for Davin. I will die and my family will get the life insurance. You fuckers don't have to do a thing because you couldn't anyway.
You always were giving.
Sure. Worth more dead than I am alive.
I'll bake cookies.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen. Here, if something, God forbid, happens, say the tick wins. And it's 50-50 that the tick will win because look at you. He already looks like a tick. Say the tick wins.
Luna.
Now, it's going to be incumbent about me or somebody else, maybe Joe Cumia, because it ain't going to be his brother. It's going to be me or Joe Cumia. We're going to try to organize something. And me and Joe will be in good talks, trying to get shit done. And everybody will volunteer and say they're going to do stuff. And at the time it happens, it's going to be me and fucking Joe Cumia.
That's how things work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's not going to get off his ass.
No. And none of our comedic friends will. Oh, they always say that. First of all, they always, oh, Joe's a great guy. First of all, I always go, you don't know him. No, he's not. That being said, our pal is ill right now. He's in hard times. I'd like to put this together. That sounds great. Let me know what's going on.
Not me help. Let me know what's happening.
Yeah, that means I ain't fucking helping.
Yeah. And if Joe has enough strength in him, he will perform at the said event and headline so he can say he headlined over all of his fucking friends because even on his deathbed, Joe's not going to turn down stage time. That is the best case scenario.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. So
like you'll watch the heart monitor flatline. Nah, Joe, you want to do flat? Always time for a gig, my friend. Always time for a gig.
I mean, listen, like celebrities put shit together for other celebrities, but Zilch's, we got no pull. We got no pull. We can't even get the Moose Lodge for free. You know, now we got to scrounge together $300 to rent the hall. And at that point, most comics are, that seems like a lot of work.
Okay, no.
Let's just send Joe a thinking of you on Facebook. That's the same thing, right? And then when he passes away, we'll hit up his ex-wife and go, thoughts and prayers. We did all we could do. We did our part. That's what Zilch comics do.
No, I want to see his ex do five.
His ex will be very sad when Joe dies.
Oh, yeah.
If she will. If Joe goes first.
She will.
I think said she might because I told her she's got to handle shit. And she goes, why do I have to handle stuff? I go, my brother's 91. I go, and I don't, my relatives live far away. And I go, until I find somebody else, you're it. And I go, and don't box me up and put me at the curb because I know that's choice one. And I go, and number two, I go, if I'm on my deathbed and you kick that freaking cord right out, I couldn't do a thing like that. You did a lot of things like that to me. And I mean, you finished me off. Just yank the plug out.
Well, you know what, Joe? Fear not. Because our own Pip Helix, last time I checked, was Facebook friends with your significant other. So maybe Pip will reach out, and maybe she'll take care of things. And I really hope so, because that would be
my
a fun
My ex-significant other.
No, I'm not Facebook friends with her.
No, not her. Your significant other.
Oh, yes. All right. Okay.
There's nothing entertaining about your ex-significant other. I want to see what happens when Pip reaches out to your significant other and puts on the guilt trip.
She'll be upset.
I know she'll be upset. But when Pip goes, we really need to do something. We need to organize something. And I think you're the one. You've been the closest one. Then I want to hear those conversations and how that works. Because I'm assuming it'll be a 1 a.m. service for you. Like...
That's when we could get the hall.
Sure, we could get the hall when people can get away. Whatever the case may be. That's what I want.
It would be like anything else. If there's low attendance, you just blame it on the start time. Yeah, sure. You know, people are it's too late. People are home already.
That's funny.
Where's Joe's girl? She couldn't get out. I know. That's the conversation I want. That's my dream of Joe's demise.
No. We would plan a girls' night out.
Yeah, girls' night. Yeah, that's what, girls' night out. Why are you going out in black? It's slimming.
It is slimming. I could totally see that happening.
We're going to have to do it in another county, though.
Wherever. Just tell the hearse driver.
Wait, is that a limo or a hearse? Oh, you know, we thought we'd be kind of goth tonight.
It's like a prom for girls. Girls only prom. Think of why there are a bunch of cars falling behind? It's going to be a big night for the girls.
Why is that? What kind of limo? Is that? It's a big station wagon with an S on the side. Don't worry about
Stop
it.
Stop asking questions. It's a very fun night.
A lot of room in the back. I also hurt my ankle. I've been walking around like Fred Sanford. That's why when you called and I'm like, I'm trying to sit down and my hurt hit the sore spot in my ankle. So I there were some times in my life where I'm not in good shape. The past week I have not been in good shape. And I had a show Saturday night. And my ankle's killing me, and I'm freaking out because the first word in the jobs starts with stand. So
yeah, you can sit. you can sit if you're injured. They'll give you a leeway. You could lean.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, look what happened to Dave Grohl. He broke his leg. He made himself an awesome rockin' throne and continued his shows.
Look cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe's throne would be like a toilet from his plumbing supply warehouse.
Yes, why not? Hey, you know, mix business with pleasure.
Sure. All right, so tales of house hunting. Are you guys ready
for
this? Yes.
All right, so we saw a house on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a split level. So for those who don't know, when you walk in, you're like at one level, but there's really nothing on that level.
That's the word I was looking for before the show.
Split level?
Split level. I couldn't think of what it was called.
An hour later. Good, I'm glad you could help. This is what I work with, Joe. Split level. So you go either upstairs or downstairs. Whereas opposed to a ranch, a raised ranch, you walk in on the main level and then there's a basement down below.
Right.
So not that anybody fucking gives a shit. But next time you're watching one of those shows like House Hunters, now you know. By the way, now I don't watch that shit for 15 years. You start looking for a house, all of a sudden it's the most fucking fascinating shit on TV.
Telling you.
Right. So.
Yep.
Everything was a good size, except the oven. So the living room is big. No, the living room wasn't big. The living room was okay. Dining room was bigger than we have. Huge master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
The other two bedrooms are good size. The oven is in like one of those that's like in the wall or like in the cabinet type thing.
Yes.
I guess you know it's good when you're making easy bake ovens. You know, it's like one of those, like you couldn't, if you were going to cook a Thanksgiving turkey, you would have to do it in stages. Like you couldn't,
really?
Yes, It was very, very petite.
Wait, is this like, because this used to be a big thing in the 70s to have those wall ovens. Is this one of those, you know, Brady Bunch, it's built into the wall old things? Or is this a new one what they put it in the wall?
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, you could tell they were senior citizens. I mean, there's wallpaper.
Then
there's
it's an carpet. Old school.
Yeah, yeah, all right. So it's fine.
All right.
Whatever. So, and I need to cook a Shabbos or a roast. I need ample oven room. Now, one of the reasons we want to move, one of the many reasons we want to move, is the wife has our heart set on hosting a big Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So the dining room has to be big, and I need an oven where I could cook more than a drumstick and a wing at a time.
Yeah.
So then you go downstairs, and it's finished. It is so upstairs in our suite. There's a full bathroom, and then there's another full bathroom.
Oh, nice.
Then you go downstairs. And it's huge. So there's like one, there's like a big bedroom,
mm-hmm.
which would be my office.
Okay.
Then there's like another huge open space with a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a place where it looks like they were set up for like a kitchen because there's like a sink and everything. So, and you know, a fridge hookup. So you could put that there.
Well, that could be like a wet bar.
I don't know. I wet dry.
It's probably a mother-daughter at once. Mother-daughter.
Maybe.
Looks like it wasn't a mother-daughter because it's not listed that way, but they set it up that way, sort of.
Right.
And then there's another huge space, and then there's another master suite. There's another master bedroom, which would be my daughter's bedroom.
I'm sure she looked at that and said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that has her own bathroom. So there's two bathrooms downstairs. Two bathrooms upstairs. So you got 3.5 bathrooms.
I'm already
if everybody gets diarrhea, you're covered.
Hopefully not in diarrhea, John, but thank you.
Well,
I'm already liking this for the visiting aspect. Yeah, so all those bathrooms.
Well, I mean, part of what our calculus is, we have older parents.
Mm-hmm.
My mom doesn't get around. So here's another feature. So these were senior citizens. I think the wife passed away. So it actually has two stair lifts, like the chair lifts.
I'm really digging this house.
which is like a couple thousand dollars a pop.
Yeah.
So it's got that. So it's got a it used to be attached, but now it's a detached, it says 2-car garage, but it's deep enough that I think it's actually a 4-car garage.
What? Right. But wait, is it a 2-car garage and all your crap? Like
all of our crap, not all of your crap.
Oh, no, that would I would need a bigger garage than that.
No, I mean this house is big enough where we could have the ping pong set up.
Yeah.
The weights, you know, there's enough room for everybody. So upstairs would be our bedroom, my wife's office, and a guest room.
Yeah.
And with a queen size bed. Mm-hmm. Then we would get like another sleeper couch and put that somewhere downstairs too. So you could, you know, have and maybe put a sleeper couch in my wife's room. So you could house a bunch of people, or you know, Pip eating chicken salad when she needs a lot of space. You know, whatever the case.
Put me in the basement and leave me alone with a Gatorade.
Or if Joe and I are fortunate enough to tour again, and Joe's staying here, it would be much more comfortable for him. He would have a nice bedroom where he could sleep on a queen size bed like a human being, as opposed to a couch. So it'd be very nice. You go outside. There's a good size deck.
Oh, nice.
Now. It's not level property, so it's kind of a hill, which my wife doesn't really love.
Okay.
But I'm like, you know what? We can excavate it, up. It's priced very affordably.
Nice.
So this house goes on market like on Thursday or Friday. We saw it on Saturday.
Okay.
So we're like, all right, we're gonna put in an offer for this.
Sounds good.
So we put in an offer for asking, and then escalation up to $40,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
So then the realtor goes, all right, we're getting a lot of action. We're pulling it off. We want everybody's best offer by Tuesday. We're making a decision on Tuesday. So we up our escalation up another $25,000. So now we are like $65,000 over asking is our max.
Wow, okay.
But, I mean, you got to understand what the market is. And this is 2,500 square feet.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of square feet.
How many, what's the acreage?
It's it's like 0.6, so a little bit more than half, which is perfect.
Okay. Right. You don't need all that land.
Yeah, you don't want to be overwhelmed.
so we decide, all right, this is what we're going to do. The wife really likes the house. The daughter is okay. She likes the idea of having a bathroom in her bedroom. She likes the idea of having the master suite.
Yeah.
But remember, there was also a house that she absolutely loved, the one I told you guys about.
Yeah.
Which I love, too. All right, so we're good to go. We put in this offer. Monday, we get a call from the realtor. You have a very strong offer on this house. And the other house that you loved, it fell through that first deal.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Now, that one asking was more than our highest on this. Now, that one was 3-something acres, 3,300 square feet, a 2-block driveway where I was going to get an ATV to do the driving. 2 decks, one with a pool so you can hang out, and a regular deck, and a running brook through the property. It was an oasis. This is the one where I said, I'm like, oh, my God. Like it would be like a Cumia-type property. Like, oh, you think somebody who's, like, made millions lives there.
Right.
And at the time, you know, me and my wife go, if we had more money, we would have bid more money on it.
Yeah.
Now it's back. What happened was, apparently the people who had bid on it, something was like, hinky. So, like, when it came for, like, to the contract, the people who bid on it drew up the contract, and it was different than what was originally negotiated. And now there was some type of contingency that they have to sell their other house. And when they went to see the inspection, they lingered too long. So, because they have a caretaker staying at the house right now. So instead of, like, leaving after the inspector goes, I guess they hung out. Like, you could just fucking hang out. Listen, it's not Club Med, stupid. You get the inspection, you get the fuck out.
They hung out in the house? That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. So they,
when the house inspector did my... I was inspecting my house, I don't know. But when I bought this house, the woman insisted that she wanted to be there at the inspection.
Right.
I don't care. You know, and I told her, I understand. I go, I just had people at my house going through the place. I go, I understand. It's a little frustrating, you know, but you got to have the inspection done, you know?
So the seller of that house, they don't want them anymore. We were the backup offer.
Okay.
We were the backup. So there was us. And there was one other offer that mm-hmm. I guess they had 2 backups. We were the second backup. So now, theoretically, it's possible we could have our house. This is the dream house. The other one is the practical house because how it's laid out.
Yeah.
Because the dream house, remember I told you it had like wings, like the bottom didn't connect.
Yeah.
But this is probably more laid out better if we have an elderly parent staying with us.
Those lift things for the chairs, you can get them put in. Yeah.
No, you can get them, but just the fact how it's laid out where there's a lot more flat terrain.
Mm-hmm.
But after the show, maybe my wife will show you the pictures. Although pictures on both properties do not do them justice.
Okay.
Do not do them justice. So now we're talking. What do we want to do? Now the three of us are talking. My wife, my daughter absolutely loves the dream house. The dream house is my first choice. But now I'm thinking about like, oh, the snow and everything. But still, it's my dream house.
Right.
It's awesome. Now the wife is like very negative.
About the dream house?
About the dream house. Everything is like, yeah, but this, but that. I'm like, okay. I go, listen, everything you've said is negative. Let's not do it. Let's hope for the best with the practical house, which is a very nice house. It looks like a house.
It sounds real nice.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. But it's you know, it looks like a house.
Yeah.
Whereas this one has a lot of character and, you know. So the wife's very, so we go, all right, you know what we'll do? We'll put in an offer for asking. So we put in the offer. So now we have an offer on 2 houses. As of Monday night, we have an offer on 2 houses.
All right. Which Joe and I will take the one you don't like.
No, I'm happy here.
I know.
I'm happy here.
So then the wife wakes up, and we're supposed to find out, you know, the one in the dream house is supposed to let us know one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're supposed to find out from the practical house.
Right.
The wife wakes up this morning. I really want to see that house again, the dream house again.
Okay.
I don't remember certain things. And in her defense, it was 3 weeks ago. We've seen like 15 other houses.
It does, you know, it does fade and you do get them mixed up.
Right. She's like, I really want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls the realtor, can't see it again because it's not on the market. That's legality, I guess. Legally.
How can it not be on the market?
They took it off the market. When they got, remember I told you like it was off the market in a few days?
Yes,
so it's off the market.
Yeah, but how can you put an offer on something that's not on the market?
because we'd already seen it.
So, oh, okay.
But we downgraded our offer, which had escalated.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because now there's no other competitor, whatever. And you know what? You could have had us.
Right.
And I think like another thing was they wanted to sell locally or something. These people were out of town and we're local.
Right.
So, okay.
They're awfully picky about who owns their house that they're not going to be in anymore.
Whatever. So then we got a horse.
Yeah, really.
Then we got a horse around with my wife's car, which I told Pip before the show. 2 months. I fucking had it. Buicks. Enough. I mean, listen, it's been 15 years. Time to put it behind one of the many garages we might have and fucking shoot that thing. But the thing is, it's coming up for inspection.
Right.
It's coming up for inspection by the end of June. And as we talked about on a show or two ago, I can't get her a new car. We can't buy a new car until we get this house thing done.
Right, because underwriting doesn't go for that shit.
Yeah.
So I go, you know, enough of this shit. I'm gonna go on the dark web, and I'm just gonna buy a sticker. I've had enough. And the wife's like, oh, it'll be fine. She's like, do you know how to navigate the black web? The dark web? I'll fucking figure it out. I deal with criminals all the time. It'll be fine. Because I've had enough. I've had it with this fucking car. We took it to the mechanic up here. We took it to my mechanic back home. You know, it's always something. It's like there's a shorter side. And we just put over $1,000 into this car for the engine. I've had it with this car. I want my wife driving something safe. I told her, I go, you got to get a warranty. Mm-hmm. Enough.
How old is that car?
What?
How old is that car?
It's like 15 years old. It's got 160 some odd thousand miles on it. But you know what? If it's so much trouble, I'd rather she has something with a warranty. Maybe like get an SUV that can handle the snow a little better for up here, a little bit bigger for her. Mm-hmm. I mean that was her dad's car. There was an attachment. It's been a good car, but now it's becoming a problem.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
So I've been dealing with that. So we come back here. So now. The practical people, they want a contingency that the house has to appraise for a certain amount. If it doesn't, we'll make up the difference because they don't know how it's going to appraise. So then we're talking to my buddy who used to be in the industry, and now we're talking to a loan officer. And everybody's like, you know what? This house is going to appraise for what they're setting it at.
Because mm-hmm.
right now houses are going for way over appraisal.
Yeah.
And then the loan officer...
Oh, yeah.
The loan officer's like, listen, a lot of times with this market, we don't even have to send an appraiser in. We can get it waived, which is what you want because then you have the old appraiser come tax time.
That's right.
Because this is not listed for all the accoutrements.
No,
right. So, gotcha.
Oh, here comes the dark tax knight from a past life going to rain on my parade. What are you going to rain on, Pip?
Well, I was just going to say that the assessor... In the county or the town assessor of taxes, they use, a lot of different things to calculate what they think the assessment actually is. And, I mean, they can change your assessment upon sale, but they won't necessarily, if you're in a bubble, go ahead and do that.
Oh, okay.
So the appraisal is not exactly the assessment.
Okay. Well... It's listed for having, as was the dream house, for having less bedrooms than it has.
Oh, good.
you know, because both of these have 5 bedrooms.
Yeah.
But they're listed at 3 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
The dream house had an extra bathroom that they didn't list. This one listed all the bathrooms.
Okay.
So then we're like, all right, we'll do it. So our offer for the practical house, and I say practical because I'm just describing the two. It's a greenhouse.
Yeah.
For the practical house. So now we're good. Now we got to schedule an inspector. But because they're so backed up, that could take 4 or 5 days.
Right.
Because it's such a market right now. In that meantime, we still have an offer on the dream house. They put that back on the market right before the show this evening. So we can go. I don't know if it was for us.
Right.
But now we can go see the house. They haven't told us our offer has been rejected yet. So it is possible that we're going to see that house. My wife is going to change her mind and go, fuck it. We're going all in on this house because it turns out we have more money than we thought because some of it was cash and retirement, and we didn't know if there was a penalty for taking it out. But you can take out the principal without being penalized.
Oh.
You can't take out what you've made on it without being penalized.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you put in $10 and you've made another $12, I made another $2. You have $12 in there. You could take out $10 without being penalized. If you take out that other $2, that's when they start penalizing you. So we have more money, but it's just like, and my wife's like, yeah, but are we going to want to, I don't see us living there forever. because, you know, it's going to be a lot to take care of. I go, well, at that point, putting my daughter through college is going to be behind us. That's the next big nut that we have. We're going to put my daughter through college.
Right.
But if she goes to a SUNY school in New York, it's a lot less money. Please go to a SUNY school. Please,
yeah.
In New York, it's a lot less money.
State school. Right, state
so,
school.
Yeah, so, I, you know, at that point, you can get somebody to take care of the grounds.
Oh, yeah, you can.
So hopefully tomorrow we're going to see the dream house. So the question is, kids, do you do the dream house or do you do the practical house, which is very, very nice and plenty of room. The ping pong can be set up. The weights can be out. My daughter still gets a master suite. I still get a big room to do this show and whatever else I want to do. And the wife gets an office. I just have to redo the kitchen there. We have to do some remodeling on the kitchen. The wife wants to take down one of the walls, because it's like a full wall, and she wants to make it a half wall between the kitchen and the dining room.
Yeah.
She wants to make that a half wall, put like a counter there, mm-hmm. where you can put some stools and put some cabinet space underneath, open it up a little bit.
Yeah.
At first, she wants to like take away like one of the full walls, because she didn't like when you walk in the way it looked. Me and my daughter are like, no.
Stop it.
As Joe would say, a studio apartment. You know, that.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that open floor plan. I just. Because when I was looking at houses, you know, Joe's girl and I look at a couple of months, and you walk in and it's like, ba-da, here's the house. You know, you're right. Everything is laid out in front. I don't like that.
Yeah, my wife likes that.
A foyer. I want to turn a corner. I want to, you know.
Yeah, no, my wife likes that. As I was telling Pip before the show, my daughter's big thing is she wants more than two levels, which none of these houses have. The house where I live now has three levels, which I was telling Pip before the show, and Joe's been here enough times too. The house lives bigger than it is because it's three levels. So we have like 1,300 square feet, which is not a lot of square footage, but it lives bigger because you have three levels to escape to.
Yeah, it feels like you have
mine is 1,100 square feet.
How many?
And it's a very small house. Very small house.
Yeah, but you don't need anything bigger.
Well, right. If, you know, if somebody else moved in, it'd be kind of tight. I'm like on closet space. I'm short on closet space.
You don't have a teen daughter that just wants you to pay the bills and really doesn't need to see you. But the good thing about this house, the good thing about both houses, but even more so the practical house, is the daughter can move back after school. God forbid an elderly parent has to live with us, because that's a reality when you get up to, you know, our age. Unfortunately, you guys don't have your parents, but, you know, my wife still has her mom.
Right.
Who's in Florida and doing very well, but she's in her mid-70s.
Yeah.
So who knows? And I got my two parents who are in their mid-70s. My dad just had his 76th birthday. My mom can't walk. Yeah, she's really deteriorated. You know, you think I'm bad with the doctors. She's like, you know, there's always an excuse not to.
Oh, dear.
My mom likes going to the doctors that are going to tell her what she thinks that they need to tell her.
Oh, that's my mother.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what she used to do.
Exactly. So, it's, you know, no, I don't like this doctor. I don't like the way they spoke to me. Goes through doctors the way I go through tissues, or the way, you know, Pip goes through tarps. You know.
What are the taxes like? What are the taxes?
So on the dream house, it's more than 11, so it's like 11 and change. And I want to say on the practical house, I want to say it's like 9.
All right, because taxes are your biggest nut in a monthly payment. You know, so you really got to sit and figure out the math, because in your mortgage payment, the taxes are in there, and that's a big nut. So you got to figure where you want to be with taxes.
So there's that.
And they're only going to go up, you know?
So do you guys, do you guys say, do you pay more for the dream house, or do you pay less? And I'm not going to give the numbers on the air. Yeah. Or do you pay less for the great house, but practical house? What is the move?
I go with the practical house. Just because a house is nothing but work, and the less work you need to do around the house, the better.
You're such a romantic. It's nothing but work. Why don't you just get a refrigerator box and call it a night?
I'm sorry. I lived and I owned
In your defense.
And an acre of land.
Yeah, no. In your defense, you had big property and a spouse who is not willing to help you out. So that makes it a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
And then before that, I had a mom that commuted all the time, and then me that, you know, tried to do stuff around the place. So, you know, it's work. It's always work.
I have a wife who likes to be out there, is handy, pisses me off by having to get the jump on the snow. God forbid it accumulate, you know. but here's the difference. Here's an important difference. The dream house is kind of like an oasis. Like, you can go in the backyard. Like, when we went there, we went in the backyard. There was deer running through the woods that I could see. Like, and you can get lost in them.
Now you've just appealed to Joe.
Oh, that's all I tried to do.
Yes.
But now, the practical house, it's a corner house, but part of it's on a busy street. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have to get an alarm system for that house. I'm sure I would get used to the cars, because I lived off of Route 80 in Hackensack with Teterboro Airport right over
it. Yeah.
It was a little
every
noisy.
Every damn thing going over you or by you.
Yeah. I mean, it was constant.
It was a little noisy in that place.
Yeah, you remember.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but you get used to it. This is not that.
Right.
But there's like the oasis and like, oh, civilization.
Yeah.
So Joe is like practical, because somebody's going to have to take care of this shit. And what say you?
You had me when you said a brook in the back. Oh my God. You know, I know that you're thinking cautiously financially because you're like living through this year that you've been through professionally.
Yeah, I'm out of work.
I know, but that's not going to be forever.
No, I'll be partly back at work, maybe one day.
Yeah, well, but also, you know, your wife is doing very well professionally, and there's no reason why she shouldn't continue to do so.
Well, the only thing is, her job, her place, is constantly buying other companies. And as you know, when you eat other companies, you get rid of people.
Yeah, you
so
do.
So my wife is very, very good at her job, mm-hmm. and she is loved there. Like, people, like, she's been there, like, 15 years. She's adored. That being said, you know, it feels nervous because she doesn't want to be management.
Right.
They wanted to make her management for years. She doesn't want to do that.
Plus, smart girl.
Yeah.
Smart girl.
Well, plus, also, the managers tend to get fired, too.
Yeah, so, they do. So.
You know, my mom used to tell me, why the hell would you want to be a manager? Because she worked in administration. She goes, you're just a babysitter. And I managed three places, and I'm like, after that, I'm like, I knew. Hey, mama was right again.
Yeah, so, well, my wife and I are much different. She's an excellent worker bee.
Yeah.
Where if I'm a worker bee, you piss me off, you're like a bee, I'm going to fucking sting you. Let me run the fucking hive. I'll be the queen of this shit. Sting, sting, get away from me. But my wife is an excellent worker bee. She really does a lot of... She really makes a lot of honey. She really does a good job from going flower to flower. My wife is such a good worker bee. I'm not kidding here. When she sees the fuzzy bumblebees,
yes,
she pets the fuzzy bumblebees.
Yes.
It's like a B2 fucking movement. Because you know the bees weren't going out for that shit. You know, the bees are just trying to, like, get, you know, do their pollen quota. And there's my wife with her fucking meat hooks coming around. Pet, pet, pet. She's like, what the fuck's going on? I didn't ask you to touch me.
No, well, she, you know, she relates to them.
She does relate to
them. Worker bee to worker bee.
I'm not so sure the bumblebees have that same kindred spirit.
Yeah, I don't know if I would pet them, but I really do like the fuzzy bumbles.
No, she pets them. Nice bee. Nice. I'm like, what are you doing? You're an animal. Go pet the hornets. What's wrong with you?
No.
Go pet show. It's the same thing.
I'm really torn because I understand the difference between, you know, you're going for top dollar with the dream house, and it's like
everything is overpriced right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already well over what when we initially started, what we thought our budget was going to be.
What you were talking about doing, yeah. But I do think that if you have the dream house and it's worth that much, if something happens later on and you're like, okay, we have to downsize now because this is, you know, isn't working out, you get to sell it
at
the dream price. Well, location, location.
But it is, but you got to remember you're buying the dream house in the bubble.
Yeah, so you might not get the exact same amount back.
Right, like I told her, she's like, what happens if we lose money? I go, listen, we bought this in a bubble.
Yeah.
And, you know, it dropped in value. We made it a home. It was worth it to us. It just so happens that we lucked out that we're going to be selling in a bubble again.
Yes.
If you make it a home and you love it, don't worry about buying in a bubble.
Right. No. We bought in the bubble too. And I mean, like, months later, the market plummeted.
Oh, yeah.
This, and I'm like,
you're the reason why.
I'm like, you know what we could have gotten this for now? And it's like, I couldn't. And it's like,
because you need a house when you need a house.
You know, it's an economy of scale. Like I said, with my place, when I sold my place, my place wasn't moving, and we dropped the price. but it equaled out because the price I paid for this place, I still can't believe what I paid for it. I look in the real estate section of Newsday every Friday, and I see what the houses are going. I'm like, yeah, somebody's watching down on me, you know. So, yeah, I'm at the point now where people go, maybe you should sell your house. No, I like it here.
Why would you sell it if you're happy?
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to sell it if you're happy and content.
Yeah.
No, if we sell it, it's going to be because we've had enough New York, like a lot of people have, and we're tired of the taxes.
Yeah.
That's going to be why we move. The reason we...
Well, like I said, if you know, Aunt's heading down south, sister's down, all my crew is heading, you know, looks like they're heading down south. It's not like all for one and one for all when we're in our 20s. I'm like, I'll wait till everybody gets down there. I'll visit. I'll look around. If I like it, I'll think about it. If not, I still got this place, and I'll just visit.
Listen.
So, you know, the key thing is you got to be happy where you want, you know. And at the end of the day, Dad, you got to be, when you pull up, you have to be happy. You know, like when I was selling fences, people would ask me, well, what do you think I should get? I go, I don't have to pull up every day to your house. I go, we bust our balls working. And when you pull in front of your house, if you have it set up the way you want, you go, why am I doing this? And you pull up and you go, oh, yeah. I got it. That's why.
So here's the thing.
That's the thing.
I can be happy in both. I'll be with my family. There's plenty of space where we don't have to see each other, which is really all you want now. I can be happy with either. The other one is just like, in my mind, and my daughter's mind, and maybe my wife, it's just like so amazing. Such an oasis. Such a brag house.
Yeah.
But if you think about, you know, like I said, well, you know, you do have elderly parents,
mm-hmm.
and if your daughter moves back, you know, what's going to be? So it's, and it's a lot more. It's not like it's the same thing. We are talking right now, so with my accepted offer on the practical house and asking on the dream house, there's a $30,000 difference. So we would have to, if we have to raise what we put on the dream house, you're talking more of a $30,000 difference, and to go to Joe's point, about a $2,000 a year different in taxes.
Yeah.
And right. And so there's 30 G's is the difference between the two houses at this point right now. 30 G's gets you a new kitchen. 30 G's, you know, get other improvements that you might run into. So, you know, that differential could be used to the practical house. You'll get the kitchen that you need. And believe me, dude, and you know, and Pip, shit crops up you didn't expect.
Oh, God.
So, and, you know, and it always, you know, there's nothing worse than the contractor going, yeah, you got a minute? I get, you know, got a minute means you're fucked. You know, so.
Yeah, it's like when a woman you're dating goes, we need to talk. It's never good. You got a minute and we need to talk on the same thing. Bad news is coming. How do I get out of here before this conversation starts?
And if they ask you to sit down, oh, crap.
Yeah, it's like, I need to outrun this bad news. The good thing about both houses is there's multiple exits, so I can outrun all sorts of bad news.
It's like when I bring the car to service, the people that have been working on my cars for years, and Kelly is my service advisor. You know, I should go, Mr. Curry, Kelly, no. No, Kelly, no. All I got to do is Kelly.
All right, so, Pip, we cut you off.
No, what else is new?
Yeah. It's for your own good.
Dex.
I got him while he was drinking. I got
him. Dex. You know, I really do like the sound of the practical house, but it's like, it sounds like you're just in love with the bigger house. I know that that's going to be more each year.
I don't know if it lives. With the dream house, the living room and the dining room upstairs are huge.
Yeah.
But, you know, the downstairs of the practical house, I mean, you got two huge living rooms, one with a fireplace, two huge bedrooms, one's a suite. So it's not like, oh, we're crammed in.
No. It doesn't sound like that at all.
Right.
I mean, I know that you're like, oh, this is really such a pretty house. But you know what? You would really make a nice home of the practical house, and it's practical, and it's less money. And with the money that you would use, Joe said, just to buy it, you could renovate, you know, what you need to.
Well, the dream house doesn't need as much renovation. The dream house probably needs where my studio would be, probably needs something done with the floors, but I could just throw a rug over it. Like, the rest of the wooden floors are fucking beautiful. Because,
well,
you know, it's the whole thing now, hardwood floors.
Yes,
and that's the thing with the practical house. I think they decorated it in the 70s. You know, it's got the wallpaper. And they got lovely plush carpet. But in some, but if you go in some of the bedrooms, there's wood under, like, there's a wood floors. So it's very possible that in the dining room and the living room, you have those hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could just rip up the carpet and just get them refinished, and you're off and running.
Yeah, yeah, with the hardwood floors. Oh, I just got a Woody.
No.
Yes. I got some lady wood about hardwood
now,
floors.
Now I want no house.
I just grossed him out.
Staying put.
I, you know, it's really hard to say, but I think that you'd be doing okay with either one.
Yes, they're both good.
Yeah.
They're both good. But, you know,
which one has more room for me to stay over in?
They're both plenty of room.
Oh, good. All right.
Both plenty of room. But, I mean, like, no, they're both plenty of room. But the setup, well, see, it's like one, on the dream house, like, one has, like, another kitchen, like, a full kitchen. Like, so there would be the studio, and then you walk out of the studio, and there's, like, a huge room with a kitchen, and then you walk out to the patio or whatnot. And then the other one, there's, like, a huge bedroom, and it's kind of broken up into with, like, half walls. So the daughter would have, like, her desk in the front, and then her bed and closet in the back. And then you walk out to that room, and there's, like, a nice-sized living room with a fireplace. You're not going, it's like you're not slumming either way.
Right. Well, you know what, since you have...
Way better than I deserve, by the way. You've seen some of the places I've lived.
you moved on up. The thing is that you have three living parents, mm-hmm. and the odds are, sorry, Dad, but the women live longer. You're going to have another older woman, one of your moms, living with you, perhaps.
Oh, God.
It's really good to have a separate kitchen.
You know what happens then? Then your pal moves to Long Island and lives with Joe.
I got the bro. Now let me ask you a question, and she brought up a very good point, which I was going to mention. Where is the second kitchen?
They're both downstairs, but in the practical house, it's very open. They're both downstairs. When I say the second kitchen with the practical house, there's not a stove there.
Right.
My wife seems to think there's a stove there in the dream house. I don't recall that. But either way, you could put a refrigerator. There's a sink there. You know, you could put like a hot plate or a Foreman grill or microwave.
But you got to think about that. You know, it's like, well, I could put a sink or a hot plate. You're not renting a room out. The goal is that probably most likely one of your parents are going to be living there.
Yeah.
You're not going to give one of your parents a hot plate.
Yeah, right. It's too good for them. It's a good point.
Whatever you're going to put in there, the idea of having a separate area for somebody to, like, cook and, you know, just like...
What would have to happen is, say a parent moved in.
Yeah.
Say my daughter has not moved on with her life. And
right.
Obviously, if she starts a family... then it could be her room.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit. So what would have to happen is they would either move upstairs to our guest room,
mm-hmm.
or I would give them the studio, which is a bedroom.
Yeah.
Downstairs. You know, it would probably be their choice what works best.
And that's the practical house?
That's the practical house.
And for that scenario, what's better set up for that? What house?
The practical house.
Yeah, because the thing about it is...
That's why it's the practical house.
Usually the kid, you know, the kids stay a while after they get out. So your daughter's probably not going to be going anywhere for a while.
Not if she likes the house.
I'm sorry?
I said not if she likes the house.
She's not going anywhere.
Right. And if your parents come in. So you got to think about that. What house would be the best to reconfigure?
That's why the practical house has been winning in the competition.
Has been called the practical house.
But like I said... The dream house has so much character. You go well, but the practical house is very nice. You know, listen. You see it from the street. It's a very nice house.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really impressed with the practical house until you go downstairs. The upstairs we're going to make nice. It's not bad or anything, but it looks like, you know, a bi-level typical upstairs. You go downstairs. You go, holy fuck! There's a lot of space.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean. It, you know, as far as like how much money it costs and the size of all the property that has to be maintained, and
I got to get a ride on mower and an ATV.
Oh God, yeah, and we're getting you a sombrero.
All right, good rider mower is going to run about probably about $1,300.
I figured I would get one used for like $700-$800.
Yeah, you could probably find a good, you know, used one and stuff like that. You got to figure out how you're going to get back to the house.
I'd have to rent a truck.
All right. Okay.
These are not the mysteries that stump me, my friend.
All right, you got to be thinking about that. Also, with the with the ATV, you got to get a blade. You know, by the time you get the ATV used or with a blade, you know that's going to be another $3,000.
Absolutely. Like it's an outlay, but once you do that shit, you forget about it. Once you have it,
yeah.
A month later, you forgot you paid for it. You're just like, okay, time to do the snow. Let me get on the ATV. Let me do my 2-block fucking driveway with the ATV. My wife's like, how would you take out the trash? I'd put the trash in the trunk and I would drive
it out.
The garbage pail. That's how the trash. You know, it'll be the only trash with an escort service.
What's the condition of the drive? What's the condition of the driveway?
Well, the practical house, it's much less of a driveway,
mm-hmm.
So obviously that's better. But both driveways are good. But the dream house, you know, it's 2 blocks. It's fucking long. It's windy. There's trees on the side. I got to put up reflectors, and at some point I'll probably put up some lights in the trees,
mm-hmm.
Figure that out so you don't blind somebody, but let people know. I mean, you know, just to make it safe, because I'm gonna have a new driver fairly soon.
A new driver?
My daughter is going to...
I'm sorry, I'm thinking. You have a chauffeur.
So you're going to take up golf, too. You got no fucking time for golf. Look at your butt.
All right, so it seems like the practical house has it. All right,
let's see.
All right, so then, this is very interesting. So today was our local school board election.
Oh, yes.
This is how fucking sick shit politics has got. This should not be political. You know, it really should be about the kids. It's always been about the kids before.
It's always political.
But, yeah, it is. You know, like all these fucking libtards, all these races. What the hell's going on? I mean, it's like these are people that are volunteering to do something for their children, and it's broken. Here's how bad it is. So me and the wife, we go up to vote, and outside the school where we vote, the guy's talking to another guy in his pickup truck. Go, yeah! I think they got them Dominion voting machines from the last election. Like, really, dude? Really? First of all, people...
Minion. It sounds like you said Minion.
No, Dominion.
You know, the little yellow guys?
Yeah, no, it's Dominion. It's like, first of all, that's complete nonsense.
Rigging the election.
Yeah. Really, we're rigging a small town school board. That's where people's heads are at. It's the fucking craziest shit. And this is new. This is in the past 4 or 5 years where it's become this divided in this town. And I know it's been divided in this town, but for a school board election, that's what we're doing. Venezuela, again, has played a hand in it. China has sent in a bunch of ballots for the local fucking school board election. This is, you know, I'll tell you what, China is very invested in whether we get the 5 new school buses or not.
They really are.
You do not need the old school buses, comrade. You need brand new ones.
Well, that's Russia now.
The Russians are involved too, you know.
Everybody's involved. People are fucking insane. So I thought that the incumbents were Republicans, because I've noticed in a lot of local elections that it's mostly Republicans that run. And I've been happy with the school board. So I'm like, I don't fucking give a shit of the Republican or Democrat. I don't give a shit. They're doing a good job.
Yeah.
I'm gonna vote for them. I thought they did a good job with everything that's going on. I don't know what they are, but some people are calling them liberals. I don't know what's going on. So then that you have this thing, well, we don't want them teaching. I guess it's the race sensitivity thing. I don't know what it is. From what I gathered, it's basically the history of our country, and they don't want the kids being taught the real history. Listen, you don't have to hate your white Anglo-Saxon heritage just because our forefathers, this country was made on slaves. You don't have to hate yourself. However, when you go on in life, whether it be personal life or on to school, you'll be better off if you know the history of our country. It does not have to be controversial. Really, you should just want the most accurate history taught in the best way possible from all angles, as opposed to go, no, everything was wonderful and we never treated anybody badly. You should know the history of the country.
People want it sugar-coated, though.
But that's not for the kids. Then there was another one. So, like, in the local paper that comes out once a week, I guess they asked them a couple questions, and you could write down a couple of things. So really, you know, it's not like you're on the spot.
Right.
You write down, so you can really think about this. So one person writes down, The most important thing is not raising the taxes. I can't. And our taxes did not go up this year because of all the money coming in from the state, which is different. The school's been, the high school has been closed most of the year. I can't believe they're even talking about raising taxes. First of all, the high school has been, with the exception of a month, the high school has been open the whole year. It's just been hybrid. Second of all, and we had to lay out a lot of money so every student had a Chromebook so we can make this learning the best possible. Third of all, we had to put in a lot of plexiglass in all these schools to make it compliant. Otherwise, you can't keep the schools open. They did the best they could. And fourth of all, I don't want my Board of Education, their primary concern to be worried about the taxes. Taxes are important. They're important. But leave that to the voters. Because we always get asked, do you approve the budget? Do you not approve the budget? Do you approve us getting new school buses or not approve us getting school? That's up for the town to divide. I want my school board to be advocating for the students.
Yes.
So when you make that the taxes the most important thing, and you don't even understand that the high school's been open the whole fucking time, and how much time we had to lay out so every student had a chance, and I know this distance learning has not worked for everybody, but at least could participate. You've disqualified me. And the thing that blows me away, you had time to think about this. It's not like we're sitting right here, I'm interviewing you, I didn't tell you what I'm going to ask, and that's your first thing. You had a time to think about that. Who the fuck is that appealing to? It might appeal to the people who don't have kids, but they're going to vote against the budget anyway. Most of the people that come out for these things are the people who have kids.
Most of the time. Or people who are really against.
This year with the stating the school was going to be closed, actually, you know, that was correct. The school was open or partially open, but they had a layout for laptops, plexiglass, and so on and so forth. So in economies of scale, yeah, they did have a layout. But the problem with school budgets is usually any budget in a municipality is when they will buy, like, on the schools here, the teachers, but there's other things involved with maintenance. You might have a maintenance department that will have a budget of, for argument's sake, $30,000, okay? And what they will do is, if they are not at $30,000, maybe they're at $20,000, they will order $10,000 of equipment, water coolers and all sorts of things, so they can go over and say, well, we spent the money. And I know this for a fact because at my last job, we used to sell to the school districts. So in this year, yeah, it's a little tricky, but still, you want a little oversight.
Joe, your critique is very valid, mm-hmm. and I hear it. I'm just saying, I don't want the people who are supposed to be advocating for the kids making that their most important focus. Let us, the community, take Joe's point to heart, and it's a valid point. And, you know, there should be oversight. I just don't need that to be your primary focus. You know, if that's number five on your list of fucking things, especially coming out of a year like this, very valid. You know what? We got to stop wasting money. We could be using it in better places.
The thing about it, and it's almost like what we were discussing in regards to the houses, are the taxes. That tax is a major part of your monthly payment.
But, Joe... That is an investment, because I will tell you, because this school system has such a good reputation, because I've glanced over at some of the local ones. I'm paying a premium to live in this town, mm-hmm. so I can get more.
If you can make ends meet, that's fine.
But what I'm saying is our house values
are economically out of hand.
Our house values are considerably more than the surrounding towns because of our school system. And so it's an investment. You know, listen, and like you said, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Joe's absolutely right.
Think about this, you know, and I think the schools are doing themselves a disservice in the sense that, obviously, schools are for younger people that are trying to move in and get their kids into school. If they can't afford to move to an area because of the schools, you know, you're going to lose population in that area, and the schools are shooting themselves in the foot. So look,
yeah, but here's the thing. That might be, in some cases, this town that I live in is very desirable for whatever reason. I'm not going to advocate for the town one way or the other, but it's got a good school system. People have an image of this town, of the quality of life. You know, it's the same thing in parts of Long Island, have like great images, and then you go two towns over, which are perfectly nice, but they don't have that good image,
yeah,
for whatever the reason is. You pay a premium for the image. Part of our image is the school system. What hurt our image is when we have fucking neo-Nazis marching on fucking Main Street.
What? That was a problem for you?
That's not good for real estate. So, yeah, like I said, Joe, I take your points. They're very valid. I just don't need that to be priority number one when you're running to be on the school board.
Where would you put the priority? Just out of curiosity, I'm not setting up for an argument. I'm just curious. Where would you set that up in a priority?
Like I said, well, first of all, I would hope that you have several things that you think are important. So, 4, 5, it should be discussed. But when you tell me your number one priority is that, and you don't even understand that the school has had, that we, the community, the school has had to outlay so much money this past year to even attempt to get these kids educated, you've disqualified yourself. Like I said, you had time to think about it. Educate yourself. You're a fucking moron. You're not getting my vote.
Well, it's like in any logical argument, if the first point that you put out is wrong, you know, then you're stacking up your argument on a house of cards. You can't say, oh, well, you know, the school hasn't even been open. Well, that's wrong. So now I'm less inclined to listen to the rest of your arguments because your first point is wrong.
Absolutely. And, you know, and like I said, I assumed all these years that my school board was Republican. Now, it's not listed in there Republican or Democrat, but there's been enough other things that I voted for locally where it's just like Republicans running. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with it. I'm fine with the town. The towns are involved. I'm not one of these people, well, I don't care. I'm going to vote for the Democrat just because, well, the Republicans seem to be doing fine. The town's a perfectly nice town. Mm-hmm. Why would I kick out a perfectly good incumbent for a local position just because I don't like the letter? It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
But I might be wrong. They might be Democrats. I have no idea. Anyway, I just thought it was very interesting that was politicized. Last thing before I take the break. So Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, the CDC announces masks off, motherfuckers, which was kind of weird. Kind of came out of nowhere. Feel like they could have done that. Could have done it better. So it's like, oh, masks off. And Joe and I are looking forward to going to this Motley Crue, Def Leppard concert where we had just talked about. I go, you know what? I think this is going to happen.
Right.
Before they said mass off. Like, this is going to happen. This should happen. The way things are trending. The day after mass off, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joe and Chet, like, nah, I know you bought the tickets in 2019, but how about we do this in 2022? You motherfuckers, you. Mick Mars is going to be as limber as a maple tree. The bands are not going to survive. How much? I don't understand this. And then you see Alice Cooper and Ace Frehley are touring. Dead and Company are touring. Everybody's touring about that except for these three glam bands.
Well, it depends on where the venues that they're touring. I mean, these guys are doing a stadium tour. And depending on where the pandemic is going, they have to have a certain capacity to make their nuts.
But it's going to be Joe. It's all open. It's all open now, except in New Jersey, which we will get to in a second. But, you know, their area appearances in New York, which starting tomorrow, is wide open. Now, it would be nice if it was wide open for those who are vaccinated, but it's wide open for everybody. So good luck, fuckers.
I think what they're worried about is if they are, if they're out on the road in the middle of the tour and God forbid things start to relapse. Now, they're playing in half-packed houses, maybe due to regulations and stuff like that, and now it's hemorrhaging money. These guys make their money on touring. There's no record sales.
No, I get that, but I think there's a major tour going around this summer that's still on with Green Day as the headliner. It's like some major festival thing that's making the rounds. I mean, listen.
Hey, look, I'm supposed to see Rammstein in September. I hope that goes. I'm supposed to see Genesis at the Barclays Center. I saw Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. Dennis got me my Genesis ticket, so I'm seeing Genesis at the Barclays December 10th, which is fantastic because I was actually had a wild hair up my ass. If they weren't coming to the States, I might go to England and to see them. But no, they're coming here, and I might even do something stupid and see them at the Garden too. But I'm broke at the church about that. But nonetheless, so it's, you know, the play it by ear thing, you know.
All right. So now the final thing till we take our break. The Democrats, who are usually correct, have said you got to follow the science. And it was the Republicans doing ass-backwards things, not following the science. And I would get them, what are you fucking doing? Just follow the science. Now the science says, open the shit up. But Governor Murphy of New Jersey, like, I need more time. How much more? What is New Jersey going to figure out that the CDC hasn't? How much more do your restaurants and entertainment venues have to fucking suffer? What are you going to figure? Even Cuomo said, all right, we're going to open this shit up. I mean, New York and New Jersey were hit just as hard. I get it. You're fucking gun shy. I get it. But if you're going to say follow the science, well, Governor Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Before Cuomo changed his mind, a couple people go, well, we really need to look at this information. It's coming from the CDC, the people you stamped your foot and said, damn it all, we have to follow this for the past 13 months.
Which just goes to show science isn't science in the hands of politics. Science is what works for me when politicians are fucking talking about it. We saw the Republicans doing it.
Around,
and now we see the Democrats.
You know, it's fighting the Democrats in it. Well, it's the CDC, the people you've been touting for the past 13
years. Well, I mean, listen, a lot of the Democrats have come around, but California's, I think, waiting till May 29th. Why? The infection rate is so low. And in New Jersey, the vaccination rate for fully vaccinated people, I believe, is 70%. What are you waiting for? You have businesses that have tried to do the right thing. They've eked it through. They've figured it out. Open the fucking doors. Let them get high on the hog. Let them get fucking fat. Why waste another day on this shit? Very disappointing.
I don't know. That still means, 30% of the people are not vaccinated, and that's a problem.
I know passports are an aversion. The three of us are fine with them, but I think what should have happened, the transition should have been people who are fully vaccinated can go and do these things.
I think that's what it is.
No.
I think that's what it is.
Well, it is, but it isn't, because nobody's going to check if you're vaccinated.
Right.
So the people who aren't vaccinated, they don't really take this shit seriously, which is a problem. And here's why it's a problem. There are people with immunodeficiencies who even if they do get vaccinated, does not affect them the same. Then you have the 12 to 15-year-olds that are just now getting vaccinated. And then you have 11 and younger who... they can't be vaccinated yet.
Yeah.
So, they're going to the super... What? You got a one-year-old. A one-year-old can't wear a mask. You know, the mom and dad has to take him shopping. The supermarket. Now you have all these people running around. It was not the smartest thing. I mean, I'm happy to live my life. And I know the whole passport thing is my freedom. And that just shows us what assholes we are. My freedom. It's always... You're so fucking selfish, some of you people.
Really?
But that's who we need to be concerned about. You know, in 2 weeks... Joe is going to be fully vaccinated, and, unless he's a New York Yankee. Hopefully, he won't get infected with COVID. Because apparently, if you're a New York Yankee,
I'm fully vaccinated. I had the Johnson & Johnson. That's one and done.
Yeah, no, I know, but you have to wait 4 weeks, Joe. 4 weeks, you're fully. 4 weeks, you're fully vaccinated. I think you were 2 weeks in. I think this is your second week, right?
14 was April 14th. April 14th. Because the doctor actually...
Oh, all right, so you're fully vaccinated.
The doctor actually asked me today. He goes, were you vaccinated? Yeah, well, when were you vaccinated? I have a card. I'm just
ripping the card. So we look forward to seeing you for a cameo one of these weeks. We would love to see
One of these weeks.
You know, it'd be nice. Let's see you for the Father's Day show. Let's target that. Can't do the Father's Day show?
No, it's too far. It's too much money. Sorry.
I thought you just said one of these weeks. It's a month away.
Yeah, I know, but the commute is too much, and it's costing me too much money. I can't. I'm not sitting 2.5 hours in rush hour traffic, and then coming down another 2 hours.
But you just said you were going to come in one of these weeks. You just said that.
One of these weeks, but it's not going to be soon.
So the problem that I have with the change is that there are people that are going to be walking around unvaccinated without masks on now because they know that people can't be bothered asking everybody, are you vaxxed? Are you vaxxed? Can I see a card? Nobody wants to be in that card because they're going
to
take so much shit.
Yeah, and they're not paid enough for that. It's not worth it because people are assholes.
No, well, that's exactly it. But it's like, it just because you are vaccinated doesn't mean that you won't get it. And it's like, good, I'm glad I won't die, but I'm still going to get sick. You know, it's like you get the flu, you get a bad flu.
People can still die from it. I mean, it's not 100%.
Well, it's not 100%.
There are people who have died who have been vaccinated. It's not 100%. It's greatly reduced.
Greatly reduced.
Well, that's a very minuscule amount. The only thing I would say to have hesitancy on is if I was a girl in my 20s or early 30s, or a woman in my 20s or 30s that want to start a family, where the jury is still out on the long-term side effects, where you might feel funny about that. That would be the only argument that would be valid on that. But, you know, I mean, and everybody's different. Like I said, the Johnson & Johnson, some people got it. They were on their ass for 2 days. I got it. I was fine. I had a sore arm for about, you know, a month. I mean, you know, and my whole thing is I got diabetes trying to bump me off. I don't think anything else is going to hurt, except that stupid tick. So I get the tick, the diabetes, and me, you know. Johnson & Johnson.
Hey, if you colored the top of your head like reddish purple, just like the tick, you guys could be buddies.
Okay. Yeah. All right. On that note, we're going to take our first break. Thank you, Pip. That was such a great addition. On the break, we have new music. Wow. From Gerald Ahern with Wrong, much like Pip's take. Wrong. And you can learn more about Gerald at Fluttertone.com. And we also have new music from Klaka Bosco with Rakiti. And you can learn more about him at